This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Wednesday, May 11th. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us this morning across our nation. It's great to be with you here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. On Wednesdays, we traditionally remember to pray to St. Joseph. Go to Joseph and pray for his powerful intercession. Now, in response to threats of violence from pro-abortion activists, the U.S. Bishops' Conference is inviting Catholics across our nation to fast and to pray the rosary this coming Friday, May 13th, the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, the chairman of the Bishops Committee on Pro-Life Activities, and Archbishop Jose Gomez of Los Angeles, the president of the USCCB, is urging Catholics to pray for the conversion of the hearts and minds of those who advocate for abortion, as well as for the overturning of Roe v. Wade. I want to bring in my colleague, Glenn Leverance. Glenn, what are some of the headlines that we should be watching this morning?
Well, John, along those lines, to pray for peace in regards to the fight over the life issue, join in praying a rosary if you can on Friday. More protests planned outside Supreme Court residences, as well as this Saturday, a large call for protests across the country to fight a potential Supreme Court decision against Roe v. Wade. So along those lines, a vote coming up today in the U.S. Senate, Democratic leader Chuck Schumer hoping for a vote to codify Roe v. Wade and to put abortion into federal law. It looks from most analysts like this would be a case of 60 votes being needed to pass legislation. Doesn't look like they'd have that many. It would take 50 votes to overturn the filibuster rule. It doesn't look like Senator Joe Manchin, a Democrat from West Virginia, will go along with that. Said to be one of the key votes, but we never know till the vote is done, John, and that's something to keep in prayer definitely today as well.
Absolutely. You never know until the vote is done, so we definitely need to pray for that. And also the protests, as long as these protests do not become violent. Protesting is okay. It's part of the tradition of our country as long as they don't become violent.
No, and, you know, when they do, that kind of speaks to the cause you're arguing for as well. And I think in light of all the violence on the streets in the last couple years, that's not a great way to win hearts and minds, I don't think.
Absolutely. And so we continue to pray for an end to legal abortion, as we've been doing for so many years, Glenn. As always, thanks so much.
Hey, sure thing, John.
We begin every hour in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit every morning here on Morning Air when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our power scripture from the playbook of life is from Luke 1:48. Our Blessed Mother Mary says in the Canticle of the Magnificat, for behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. In the great song of Mary, Our Lady proclaims the greatness of the Lord. She is full of grace, and that is why all generations call her blessed, and that's why precisely we as Catholics call Mary the Blessed Mother. Mary is the Mother of God, the Mother of our Savior, the Mother of the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Mother of the Word incarnate, our Lord Jesus Christ. She's the same Virgin Mary who came to the Americas as Our Lady of Guadalupe, the same Virgin Mary that appeared at Lourdes and Fatima. Never hesitate to go to Mary, our mother, who always leads us to Christ, her son. And we always pray every morning with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. As we've been reporting for days, abortion extremists have engaged in violence, vandalism of Catholic churches and pro-life group offices, and heated protests across America from New York to Los Angeles in response to a leaked draft opinion from the U.S. Supreme Court that could overturn Roe v. Wade. In fact, radical leftists held threatening protests outside Justice Samuel Alito's home on Monday night, as well as Justices Kavanaugh and Roberts' home over the weekend.
We are not your incubators!
The courts and the legislature!
We are not your incubators!
I want people to know that they have the right to decide what happens to their body, and not people who have no business deciding what they can do with their body.
And now joining us from Phoenix, Arizona, is Mayra Rodriguez, the former director of three Planned Parenthood clinics in Arizona, who received the Planned Parenthood Employee of the Year Award and is now a Hispanic pro-life leader. Good morning, Mayra. Welcome back to Morning Air. Great to be with you once again.
Oh, great to be with you, John. It's always a pleasure, a blessing to be able to share my testimony. And, you know, when you reach out to me to share my side, my opinion, it makes me just feel so valued.
Well, Mayra, you know, in fact, before we talk about all the latest news, there's so much going on the pro-life front. Can you give our listeners just a real brief recap of your story, a summary of your experiences with Planned Parenthood for 17 years and why you left after your lawsuit?
Yeah, so I'm a former Planned Parenthood director, also known as a whistleblower from the state of Arizona. I dedicated my life literally to Planned Parenthood, and, you know, for many years I worked on centers that have nothing to do with abortion, defending their women matter no matter what, the right for an abortion, you know, the reproductive right. But it wasn't until I took over the biggest abortion center in the state of Arizona, Glendale, that I saw the reality and the truth behind abortion, that I saw the darkness of abortion. What did I see, John? Well, I saw how women were getting hurt, how the complications that they deny that happen frequently are happening, that they don't report them, the incomplete abortions, meaning leaving baby parts inside the woman's body, the mother's body, creating a risk for their life, how they don't follow rules and regulations or legislations put in place to protect those women. You know, they literally don't care. And that's what I learned as a director of the abortion facility. So what did I do? I complained about the abortionists that got for me to be fired. Then I started a lawsuit against them as a whistleblower. Thankfully, in the state of Arizona, our justice system works for the most part. And I won the lawsuit in 2019, and where they found Planned Parenthood guilty of firing me, trying to protect the abortionists. And now here we are. I'm defending life. I have been the rest of my life a mission to speak the truth about abortion, to speak the truth about Planned Parenthood, and to tell the public and women especially that we don't need abortion and that abortion needs to be eradicated from our community.
Well, Mayra, if anybody understands both sides of the issue, it's you. As a former Planned Parenthood Employee of the Year, what's your take on what's been going on here in the last week, beginning with the leak that could possibly overturn Roe v. Wade? What does it mean for you to be seeing what is unfolding?
Well, we knew that the leak was a dirty trick from the other side. We knew that it was a way to try to create violence. And as we know, abortion equals violence. Anything to do with abortion will equal violence. It will incite violence. You know, it is very sad to see officials like Kamala Harris, even President Biden, or other official government officials tell people to get out on the streets and become violent. You know, it is extremely sad. right? But we saw it once again. They did it before, and we know that. And we see it once again promoting this, you know, the attacks. I mean, I don't know about you, John, but I had received more threats on my social media, on my contact information, emails, you know, text messages than ever before in the past week. So they are on to attack us. I mean, we saw how they broke into Our Lady of Los Angeles, Our Lady of the Cathedral in Los Angeles, and how they broke into the middle of Mass on Sunday, you know, on Mother's Day. They made that threat. So we can see what this is going. You know, one thing they're wrong is they think this is a Catholics against women, right, which is very wrong. First of all, there's many, many pro-life advocates that are not Catholic. They're Christian, evangelicals, atheists. They're from any and very denominations. You know, it's not a Catholic problem only. It's a community problem. It's a social justice problem. That's what people should understand. We're tired of giving women such a false solution to something that wasn't a problem to begin with, right? So when government officials tell women, you know, we see who's behind it. This is Planned Parenthood. You know, Planned Parenthood citing for the protest on their website, organizing. Why? Because they're about to lose a lot of money on their business.
Myra, what is your impressions of the impact on the pregnancy centers across our nation and other pro-life groups? We saw the horrific images of the bombing in Madison, Wisconsin, of a pro-life group. But this is affecting a lot of folks across our country.
It is. It is with great sadness. You know, it's extremely devastating to see that in order for them to try to make a point, they're actually attacking the only places that are actually helping women, truly helping women, you know. They didn't think of all the diapers and the baby clothing and everything that was inside ready to help those women that want to be helped. You know, they didn't think of who they were harming. They think they're harming the pro-life community, and of course they did, you know. What they are harming us is by showing us how they are so violent, and that's how it's showing us that they're ready to kill whoever they want. I mean, what can we expect from a group of people that want to kill a baby even after 28 days of being born?
Myra, what are your thoughts on Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, who said that as a society, we are becoming addicted to wanting particular outcomes, not living with the outcomes that we like, that we don't like, he said. What are the abortion extremists, how are they responding to this situation? Because it seems like the only way they know how is with violence.
Exactly. And that's the problem, you know. It's not understanding. I think, John, that this is a lot of confusion. The other side, the pro-abortion side, has created a lot of confusion in a lot of people. As you can see, some of the headlines are like, Catholics are taking over your body. Next thing is, they're not going to let you get out of your house. You know, they're telling women that this is happening, that we're going to lock them up until they give birth. You know, things like that, which are false statements, you know. In reality, what is going to happen is that finally, we're going to clear that abortion is not a constitutional right. Now each state will have to put their own legislations, their own rules and laws about abortion. And that's exactly what is going on, you know. So they're misinforming people. And, of course, people are not listening to what is really happening. The reality and the truth is that abortion is not a constitutional right, period. You know, but you're right. People want that they don't want to see Roe versus Wade go away because they don't understand what it even meant in the first place. You know, they don't understand what it means. So they're just telling them, they're taking your rights away, and they're just listening to whatever they're hearing. You know, in fact, what is happening is giving women more rights. Why? Because now their states have to work on better solutions for those women, to help women when they get pregnant, to help women with unexpected pregnancy, you know, and not just simply throw her money and say, go kill your baby, you know. But it's a lot of confusion. People don't understand. At the end, it's supposed the judges are following their law, and that is that abortion is not a constitutional right, period.
We're joined this morning by Mayra Rodriguez, a former Planned Parenthood director who is now a national pro-life leader. Mayra, can you talk about how the Hispanics are being targeted? Many Hispanics are being targeted across our country by big abortion.
Exactly, because what we have, the most abortion locations are located in cities, in communities where it's highly populated by Hispanics, by immigrants. I mean, we see the mega clinics opening in the state of California in places where the field workers are, you know, and that then they go and tell those women that they can come and be seen there and they don't have to carry their babies. And if they just got here, you know, we can see how they send them to shelters when they're crossing the border, and then telling them how, if they're pregnant, turning them into the hands of Planned Parenthood, all their abortion is right away, you know? And we can see they're targeting the minorities. We can see they're targeting not only here in our land, but we see it across America, right? In Latin America, in Mexico, how they're promoting to have free abortions for the poor people. What a way to discriminate and tell someone, you know, we don't want to see, we don't want to help you, we want to kill you.
Since 1973, more than 63 million unborn babies and hundreds of mothers have died from supposedly safe and legal abortions that surely haven't been rare. How would overturning Roe change the direction that we are going as a nation and as a society?
We know for a fact that when something becomes unavailable legally, it reduces the number. There's no argument about that. The other side will tell people that we're going to back into back alley abortions, you know, illegal abortions, unsafe abortion. Let's just make something clear. My story, my testimony will tell you that there's not such a thing as a safe abortion. It doesn't matter if it's done in a Planned Parenthood location or if it's done on by going into a pharmacy and buying abortion pills illegally, right? It's the same process. It's the same procedure. It won't change. You know, the fact is that there's not such a thing as safe abortions. And when people say that we're going backwards, I don't think it is progress. It's going forward and saying we don't need to kill another human being. We need to find the root of the cause that makes a woman have an unexpected pregnancy and fix that, you know, correct that. So one thing that people need to understand is that once we remove the abortion industry from becoming more millionaire, then our states will have more money to put in the right place for those social services, you know, to help those women, right? To have access to better health care, to have better jobs for them. And that is one thing that we want to get out of this, you know, that the abortion industry gets a lot of millions of dollars from our taxpayers. And that money needs to go to real social services.
Mayra, you've come a long way. You've had this dramatic conversion, not only from pro-choice, pro-abortion to pro-life, but also you've returned back to your Catholic faith and Our Lady of Guadalupe. Can you talk about that dramatic change and why you are pro-life today?
Yeah, well, I mean, Yona, as you know, some of my story, I grew up Catholic. I'm Mexican. I was born and raised in Mexico City, so Our Lady of Guadalupe was always the patroness at my house, right? But obviously, throughout the years, I was far away from our church. You know, when I worked for Planned Parenthood, I didn't go to church. You know, I remember my mom saying, like, you have to go to church this Sunday. It's Palm Sunday, you know, or stuff like that on major holidays. But for the major part of the time, I was in a church, you know. Why? Because I felt ashamed of myself. One thing I will remember is, like, why would I go to church when people that go pray outside of the locations I work are there, you know, and they can see me? Can you imagine if they saw me going into church, right? So you don't feel okay with yourself. So then that gets you far away from God, and obviously you fall into the hands of darkness. Now that I came out of that world, I went back to my house, the church, you know. I got healing with a priest and Father Klein, you know, throughout all his spiritual counseling, you know, helped me regain my faith, not only on God, obviously, in Our Lady of Guadalupe, but on myself, you know, that I do find forgiveness from God. The mercy of God reached out to me, and then he forgave me, right? And then I can forgive myself.
Well, there's no doubt, Myra, that you have become a true pro-life champion, not only with the Latino community, but with so many people overall. We really appreciate your perspective, and I know you'll be traveling to our nation's capital in the upcoming days.
Yes, we're planning on being there next Monday, praying that the Supreme Court will release their official statement about Roe versus Wade. So it's not a set in stone that they will do it, but it seems that it may happen on Monday, and we want to be there.
Thanks again, Myra. It's always a joy to be with you. Many blessings to you. Myra Rodriguez, a former Planned Parenthood Employee of the Year and now a pro-life leader. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air returns, our Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona will have the latest news on the Holy Father from the Vatican. Stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air. We'll be right back after this.
Bringing Rome to home. This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks for tuning in this morning. It's good to be with you on another Wednesday. And now it's time to bring Rome to home as we do every Wednesday at this time for the latest news from the Vatican. We go live to the Eternal City and our Rome correspondent, Ashley Nerona. Ashley and her husband, John, founded a Truth and Beauty Project providing Renaissance-style theological formation for visitors to Rome. And of course, you can read more about them at johnandashley.org. Good morning, Ashley. Buongiorno. Always a joy to be with you once again from the Eternal City of Roma.
Hey, buongiorno, John. Great talking to you today.
Ashley, let's begin with the Holy Father's Wednesday audience this morning in St. Peter's Square. Mm-hmm. What was the main focus of Pope Francis this morning?
Well, John, it was another beautiful day in St. Peter's Square this morning, and the Holy Father continued his series of catecheses on the meaning and value of old age in the light of God's Word. Today's theme was the importance of celebrating all the talents and charisms of the elderly. And so to illustrate this morning, the Pope looked to the Old Testament figure Judith lived to be over 100. He looked to her as an example for older people who, in retirement, can sometimes find adjusting to this new chapter of life a difficult time. He recalled that it was Judith who, in her youth, had saved her people by slaying the Assyrian general. And after this victory, she returned home and she spent the rest of her life with her family. And today, the Pope recalled that Judith's time of retirement after what he called an adventurous existence, what many people face today, but during retirement, people who are older are always called to be heroes like Judith was. And he said it's because heroism is not only that a time of great events that fall under a spotlight, but it's actually in the tenacity of love poured out into a difficult family, or on the behalf of a threatened community, he said. And he pointed out that Judith was widowed early, that she had no children, but as an elderly woman, she was able to experience a season of fullness and of serenity, especially in the knowledge that she had lived to the full in the mission that the Lord had entrusted to her. And for her, the Pope said, it's time to leave a good legacy of wisdom, of tenderness, of gifts for the family, for the community, a legacy of good, and not only of goods. He said that that is a very important message for all of the elderly, to look to leave a legacy of good and not only of goods. And he said that's because in old age, it's easy to lose what he called one's inner gaze. And so instead, the elderly should work on perfecting that inner gaze so that it becomes more penetrating. And so in later times in life, it's easier to see things that may have escaped notice before. So the question is how the Lord can his talents only to the young and the strong? He says, well, that's not the case at all, because the Lord has talents for everyone. And the talents are made to measure for each one. That means they're perfect exactly for every stage and every season of life. And so today, the Pope asked the elderly to be generously available to share their talents so that they can always bear fruit. And he also encouraged all of the faithful to read the book of Judith and to learn about Judith's courage and strength, and to use that as an example to remember, to respect, and to encourage the talents and charisms of the elderly, John.
Well, the Holy Father, no doubt, has a heart for the elderly. Being elderly himself, he can totally appreciate the challenges, especially what he's been having to deal with, hobbling around with the bad knee. The Holy Father also had a message for grandparents.
That's right. In fact, yes, our 85-year-old Pope yesterday released a message. Now, this is in anticipation of World Day for Grandparents and the Elderly. And although the date of the event isn't until July, indeed, Pope Francis released this year's message yesterday. And to give you a little background on this celebration, Pope Francis instituted this day, this World Day, in 2021 because he said that grandparents are often forgotten, and yet they are the link between generations, and it's they who pass on the experience of life and faith to the young. So this year, the day is going to fall on the 24th of July, and that's because the church observes the World Day on the 4th Sunday of July, close to the feast of Saints Joachim and Anne, who, of course, were the grandparents of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so in his message yesterday, the Pope said that he encouraged the elderly to persevere in hope and wanted to remind them of their great power to transform the world through prayer and through tenderness. He said, aging is not a condemnation, it's a blessing. And even if society or personal frailties may tempt a person to think otherwise, he wants everyone to remember they are invaluable in God and should continue to pursue to know God and to have hope. And in his message, the Pope recalled the psalmist's words in Psalm 92:14. In their old age, they still bring forth fruit. And he said these words are glad tidings, especially because they run counter to what the world typically thinks about this stage of life. He said many people, as a result, are afraid of old age. But he says, along with the white hairs comes a gift for the elderly to learn to discern the presence of the Lord everywhere. He encouraged the elderly to cultivate the interior life. How do you do that? Well, he said through dedicated reading of the Word of God, through daily prayer, through the reception of the sacraments and participation in the liturgy. And he also encouraged the elderly to cultivate relationships with others. And finally, he asked grandparents and elderly to be artisans of the revolution of tenderness in the world. And he encouraged all of the elderly to become poets of prayer, John.
Inspiring words by the Holy Father, and it reminds me of, you know, we so oftentimes see older people in church. It seems like the elderly they feel a certain closeness to the Lord because they know that their time may be more limited. You know, there's the old joke that a Bible stands for basic instructions before leaving earth, and so the elderly oftentimes are reading the Word of God and praying because they know that they have to be ready for final exams.
Yes, exactly. And in his message, the Holy Father reminded the elderly that they have the incredibly valuable instrument at their disposal, which is one that is so perfectly suited to old age, and that is prayer.
Absolutely. Shifting gears, what is going on with the mafia in Rome? I understand there's been a major takedown. What's happening?
Oh, yes. In fact, John, it's really been quite a very interesting few days. So actually, believe it or not, one might think that the mafia is a thing of the past. or something that you just see in movies nowadays, but the reality is it is alive and here in Rome. And after a huge investigation that involved wiretapping, etc., the anti-mafia department of Rome has just made 43 arrests between Rome, Lazio is our state, and Calabria. 38 people are now in jail. Another 5 are on house arrest. Amongst the arrests is an accountant, a bank employee, even a mayor from Calabria. And most of the charges are on things like illegal weapon sales, money laundering, sale and possession of drugs, extortion, and the fictitious registration of assets. And what's also particular about this particular mafia organization is that they didn't aim at controlling the territory, the land, like we know of mafia organizations in the past, but they focused on investments and money laundering, particularly in the commercial and catering sectors. And at the same time as the arrest, there was an urgent seizure of a series of companies and individual enterprises that were operating specifically in Rome. So these were supermarkets, restaurants, clubs, coffee bars. I have to say, I read through the list of every single one and looked at all the addresses just in case we'd ever been to any of them, but we hadn't. My husband John and I had not. But anyways, one of the police officials said that the mafia is a danger to democracy and it has to be wiped out. So thus, this really concerted effort here, John.
Well, it's the battle between good and evil, and that it continues to this day. Can you give us a brief update on what's going on from an Italian perspective with the war in Ukraine?
Oh, absolutely. So actually, in the latest of a series of efforts from Italy to provide assistance to Ukraine, Italy has sent a convoy of 45 fire trucks to Ukraine. So these were donated as part of an overall European effort to assist the country. So the fire trucks came from various firefighting units all over Italy. They were donated by each of these units. And they were then put on a train to Slovakia. And there in Slovakia, local authorities escorted the emergency vehicles then over the border to Ukraine. And 15 Italian firefighters also went along. They accompanied the trucks and then they instructed their Ukrainian colleagues in how to use all of the machinery. And then, John, in the meantime, Italy has told its citizens that all public offices in the country, in the nation of Italy, must now regulate their internal building climate in order to reduce the use of gas that's coming from Russia. So what they have dictated is that air conditioning cannot go below 77 degrees. To give a little perspective on that, in 2021, the average temperature that Americans keep their thermostats at is 71 degrees. So it's a bit above that. And then going forward in the year, heat will not be able to go above 66 degrees. They have not said how the authorities plan to check whether the public buildings are complying with the new rules, but the penalties, they say, range from 500 euro to 3,000 euro.
Wow.
And then, another interesting thing that's been going on, John, is that the Italian Treasury has just seized a $700 million super yacht. Now, this super yacht has alleged links to Russian President Putin. Now, the luxury vessel was allegedly just getting ready to leave the Tuscan port called Marina di Carrara. It had been undergoing some maintenance work in the last few months. But instead, this 140-meter luxury vessel was impounded. And what's going to happen next is that the European Union will make a decision if they will include that in their package of sanctions against Russia. And to give you a little of an understanding of this incredible luxury vessel, it's a 6-story yacht. It has 2 helipads, has a gym, has a beauty salon, an elevator, a swimming pool with a retractable cover that actually converts into a dance floor. And the ownership of it is under investigation right now, since its owner is actually an anonymous company registered in the Marshall Islands. But when they have started examining employment records of some of the members of the crew, they discovered that there are indeed links back to Putin. So thus the seizure of this. And we will continue to watch this and see how it all plays out, John.
Super interesting. Finally, we've got about a minute left. Just a quick word on how our Blessed Mother Mary is being celebrated in this month of May in Roma.
Oh, John, well, first of all, churches throughout the city are hosting public rosaries daily. And then at the Vatican on the four Saturdays of May, there will be a candlelight rosary procession around St. Peter's Square from 9 to 10 p.m. every Saturday evening. And then in the square during the rosary, there'll be a reproduction of the image of Mary under her title Mater Ecclesiae, which means Mother of the Church. And by the way, this is a reproduction of that mosaic that was put up in St. Peter's Square as part of the facade on the Apostolic Palace during the reign of Pope St. John Paul II. So these are some of the lovely things that are happening to celebrate the special month of Mary. And of course, it's also so wonderful that it all started out with the celebration of St. Joseph on the 1st of May as he ushered in the month for his wife. And in Rome, the Confraternity of St. Joseph in the area of Monte, it's an association of carpenters. And they did a very long, beautiful procession holding high the statue of both St. Joseph and Mary in preparation for this beautiful month of May, John.
Well, it sounds like a fantastic celebrations there in the Eternal City, and especially this coming Friday on the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. As always, yeah. Ashley, thank you so much. Grazie for bringing Rome to home to our audience.
Prego, so great to be with you. God bless.
Ashley Narona, our Rome correspondent who joins us every Wednesday from the Eternal City. You can listen to her reports on the Relevant Radio app or just go to Relevant in Rome. Coming up on Morning Air after a short time out, Catholic speaker and journalist Kate Wicker will be with us to share some tips for a healthy and happy marriage. After all, she now has 20 years under her own belt. So stay with us. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues after this. You gotta love it. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you once again on this Wednesday morning. Greetings to all of our Morning Air listeners tuning in across America. Our number, if you want to be part of the show, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, our next guest celebrated her 20th marriage anniversary recently, and with two decades under her belt, she has a few insights into what makes a healthy marriage. Joining us now live from Athens, Georgia, is Catholic journalist and speaker Kate Wicker, a Morning Air regular contributor to share some tips for a healthy and a happy marriage. Kate is a wife, a mom of five kids, a bibliophile, fitness enthusiast, eating disorder survivor, and a perfectionist in recovery, as she says. Kate's the author of Getting Past Perfect, How to Find Joy and Grace in the Messiness of Motherhood. Good morning, Kate. Thanks for joining us. Great to be with you once again. Congratulations on your 20th marriage anniversary.
Thank you. And a caveat, of course, there are probably many listeners who are much more seasoned than I am. My parents actually will be celebrating their 51st wedding anniversary in August, so perhaps they should be on the show because they really know the lasting, how to make those vows to say that I do every day.
Well, my wife Cindy and I are celebrating this coming Saturday. We're a few years behind you. 17 years we'll be celebrating. So
congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Lots of celebrations all over the place. Now, I heard your husband surprised you with a trip to celebrate your 20th.
He did. He
Awesome.
It was wonderful. I'm so lucky.
Absolutely. Now, obviously, you do not need an escape to paradise to cultivate a good marriage.
No, and that's what, during the trip, we really talked about how, I think one thing that maybe, because these last few years have been wonky for a lot of us, the way they worked changed, the way they had to parent changed, and I think we just kind of got, we didn't even realize, not that we were in a rut, but just the mental energy that it takes. You know, I have older children now. My youngest is 5, but then I have 3 teenagers as well. And in many ways, you tell yourself, oh, you know, it's easier. I'm not doing the day-to-day cutting up choke-proof bits of food and high chair crud removal and that kind of stuff. But the mental energy of just making sure everyone's safe and needs to be where they need to be and sports uniforms are washed and ready. And I don't think I even realized how distracting that can be, and can be take an energy zap, energy and an emotional toll, and kind of make me maybe not put my marriage at the forefront as it always should be. And so it was really a sort of a good wake up call. Not that we were, our marriage was great, we weren't in any trouble or anything like that, but just realizing how lucky we are. And something that I told my husband that we can all do is I put the phone away for a while. I think we live in this society now where people sort of expect you to respond right away. And my husband did keep his phone with him in case there was an emergency, but I literally locked mine away for 3 days. And I let the kids know, and my mother-in-law, and, you know, Dave could be reached. And it was just so freeing to be able to focus on my husband and myself, and not all the emails and the questions and just little things. Like I'll get a call from a teacher, you know, on Fridays. My son, he has a community school that he can walk to, and he's 10 now. So we let him on Fridays go. There's this really cool little place he can walk to, and you can still get like a 25-cent ice cream cone. I mean, it's so idyllic. I think it might be a little more than that, like 50 cents. But anyway, so he always goes with his friends. And one day he forgot his ice cream money, and like the teacher contacted me in the middle of the day and said, you know, Thomas was upset that he didn't have his ice cream money. Is there any? And I thought, he can live without ice cream for a day. Like, you know, so just like little things like that, all these little interruptions to manage the domestic operation, it just distracts from your relationships. And I think mothers in particular, we're really good at pouring into the relationships of our children. We take, you know, the sublime vocation, as we should, very seriously, but it's really easy to kind of put your children at the focus of your life while ignoring perhaps your faith life or your marriage. And you can't do that because one day you're going to have this empty nest and you don't want to feel so lost and forsaken that you don't know what to do with yourself. So I think that it was just a really good, and like I said, it doesn't require a tropical island getaway, but maybe you at least put your phone away for a night, you know, just to connect.
Great
and to really
suggestion.
Be with each other.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and have conversations, you know?
I totally can relate myself. Put the phone away. I'm with you on that one. Now, you have been married now for 2 decades. It's been quite some time since the pre-Cana days as you were getting ready to be married. You've learned a lot over these last 20 years. What do you think is the secret to a happy and healthy marriage? And is there a secret?
Yeah, I think there are certainly certain tenets, if you will, that have really helped me in my relationship. And one is, it's, you know, trite, but just loving the person unconditionally and knowing that any profound changes that need to be made that you're praying over, that you need to turn that over to God, because you can't change the person. And you're each on your individual faith journey too, and that might change, you know, and you just have to accept that and just cultivate your own faith. And then keeping a sense of humor is just so big. So many times when my husband and I were faced with stressful situations, and I really learned this from my parents. My mom several years ago had pretty serious brain surgery, And after she was coming out of it, something happened with her spinal fluid and she was very, very sick and throwing up. And my dad, I know he was very worried, but I can't even remember what he said. But my dad is a joker and he made some sort of joke. And my mom actually started to laugh. And then she said, "You've got to stop making me laugh. It hurts too much." But I just thought it was such a tender moment because even though she was kind of like slapping away at him, they are able to laugh together and to look on the bright side and to love each other through the worst. You know, it's easier to love during the better, but it's for better or worse. And I think they really passed that down to us because I can remember several stressful situations. You know, when the kids were little, we had this horrible road trip where this was when we thought we'd sneak away for our anniversary with, you know, four kids, little tiny kids, and have this like romantic getaway. You know, it obviously didn't happen. And then there were like, we got to the beach and for some reason there were these attacking flies and the locals were like, "Oh yeah, they come like once a year." And so we were getting attacked at this beautiful, you know, just, we live kind of in Georgia. We can get to the beach in not too many hours. So we just drove there, but there were these attacking flies. And I just remember my husband and I just laughing like, this is just, happy anniversary. We love each other, you know? And so, cause if you just get so upset about everything, then it's going to make it even harder. So that keeping a sense of humor for my husband and me has been really, really critical. And then also just loving each other unconditionally and knowing, like I said, if there's something you're really worried about, you can't ever give up on a person, but sometimes you have to give them up to God. Whether it's a faith thing or maybe someone struggling with an addiction or mental health, or I think a lot of times once we get married, we think we can fix everything and fix these people. We're going to love them into healing or love them into the church or whatever it is. And that really is the Holy Spirit's business.
Kate, we cannot talk about a happy marriage without talking about forgiveness, because our spouses are not perfect. We have to be able to say, "I'm sorry," and we have to be able to ask for forgiveness when we need it.
Yeah, I mean, a funny thing. So reentry has been, I admit, a little difficult for me. So yesterday I was just a little bit grumpy. I had one teenager being just, you know, she's a sweet teenager, but being a typical teenager, and just I asked this child to do something and they kind of did the eye roll and whatever. And then I needed to find an important document for another child. And for some reason it wasn't in the file that I needed. And then the dogs were running around and it was crazy. And everyone was asking me and I just kind of was like, "Ah!" And then I had to go out. And when I came back, nobody had done the dishes. And my husband came in and said, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Ah, I'm not okay." And I kind of like snapped at him. And so this morning I gave him a hug and I was like, "I really am okay. I'm really sorry. I was just overwhelmed and, you know, I'm sorry." And he gave me a hug. He's like, "No worries." And so it's so important to recognize when we have maybe misstepped, and then also when our partner has, to offer them that love and mercy that we certainly have learned from our faith.
Kate, can you talk about the importance of our faith in our marriage? You know, it takes three to get married, you know, the husband, the wife, and our Lord. In fact, I remember the one thing I took away from our pre-Cana was, it's my job to get my wife to heaven. It's her job to get me to heaven.
Yes. And the pre-Cana program I went to was actually called Three's a Marriage because it takes three. And I think just praying, making prayer the focus of your marriage, praying for your spouse, praying for your marriage, praying for your, if you have children, their future spouses, if that's God's will for them to enter into the sacrament of matrimony, and just really, you know, keeping your eyes towards heaven and just looking at Jesus, how he was a model of love, and the Holy Trinity is a beautiful thing too, where you can learn the give and take and get some wisdom from that.
Once again, congratulations on
Thank
your
you,
20th
you
wedding anniversary. Many, many blessings in the years to come. And obviously, our listeners can go to your website, katewicker.com, for much more. You have yet more suggestions and tips on how to have a happy marriage. Thanks so much, Kate, for being with us.
Yes, thank you for having me.
And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called A Wise Man's Jokes. A wise man once faced a group of people who were complaining about the same issues over and over and over again. One day, instead of listening to the complaints, he told them a joke, and everyone cracked up laughing. Then the man repeated the joke. A few people smiled. Finally, the man repeated the joke a third time, but no one reacted. The man smiled and said, "You won't laugh at the same joke more than once, so what are you getting from continuing to complain about the same problem? You're not going to get anywhere if you keep complaining about the same problem but do nothing to fix it. Don't waste your time then complaining, expecting other people to continue to react to your complaints. Instead, take action to make a change." James 5:9, "Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door."
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. And of course, you can always download and listen to any of Glenn's Story Corners at our Relevant Radio app and at relevantradio.com. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, our spiritual director, Father John Gordon from the Archdiocese of Newark, will be with us to continue our series on the mysteries of the Rosary. Today, we're going to focus in on the glorious mysteries. Plus, our executive success coach, Dave Duran, will be joining us to talk about some of the reasons that leaders lose their followers. So stay with us. There's much more conversation to come. Don't change that dial as we continue with Morning Air next hour here on the Relevant Radio Network and the Relevant Radio app.